Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we're discussing the depth of dreams and taking calls for readings on the air. And we do have a caller in the queue who we are going to be getting to shortly. The call-in number is 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Twitter. So please do follow us on those accounts. We appreciate it greatly if you do. And you can find our pages via the page that is linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Again, call the number 914-338-0164. Press 1 to speak with us. Okay, 402 is our first caller. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Who's this, please?
My name's Diane, and I'm calling because I've been going through kind of a rough time, and I guess if I had to focus on one thing, I would focus on I've been working on selling some projects that I'd written some time ago, and I've not had more money coming into my life for a few years now, so just kind of looking at finances would really help me out right now.
Finances and work, obviously. You're having problems with work. You say you're
right.
A writer?
Yes, and I don't have a job that I go to per se. I freelance, but I've not had any income coming in for some time now with the writing.
Okay.
I've got a few books I'm working on selling, and I know once you sell the first one, I keep hearing from people who have sold them that it's a lot easier from the publisher. They want more, but I just have not jumped that hurdle yet, you know, where I've sold the first one.
And is this nonfiction or that you're writing?
I am currently writing a nonfiction book, but the three books I have that are ready to sell are fiction, yes.
So you are writing a nonfiction. And so if you're freelancing as a writer, aside from the books that you're publishing, is there work that you do for certain companies or agencies?
No. I'm working on getting my health back together, too.
Okay,
so
it's just selling your books that you're interested in doing. That's the freelance work. Okay, so Diane, what's your birth date? Have we spoken with you before? Your voice sounds familiar to me, but
yes, it's been probably 6 months ago, though.
Yeah, so I do remember you.
My birthday is March 24th, 1962.
Okay. 17. 25. Okay. And I wrote down a 5, a 3, and a 4 for some reason. I didn't remember your birth date, but 3, 4 are your days, the month of day, rather. And the 5 is in your karmic number, but that really is not, I would take credit more for the 3 and the 4.
Okay.
Okay, so you are 15, how old are you? 56 years old, you're going to be 57.
Correct.
Which is interesting, Neil, because she's got the 5-7 in her karmic arrangement, you know, with the karmic, the 5 in the karmic number, 25, and then the 7 is your master number. So 57 years old, she's 7 times 8. She should have had a change this year, right? This past year, 56?
54.
Oh, 54. 57, yeah. 54. Anything you can, 56. 8 times 7 is 56.
His mess number is 9.
Did I add that wrong? 17 and 8?
No, the mess number is 9. If I get there, if I heard it right.
I have 25-7. So, 7, no, 3-4, 1962, Neil.
She said 324.
Did you say 3-4 or 324?
324, 62.
So I'm wrong. I'm wrong, but I heard 3-4.
No.
So, okay. So, backing up, you would cycle at 54 years old. But, and so you are...
That was 2 years ago.
It's going to be 57. So you had to change at 54. So at 54, what happened?
Let's see. Oh, that's when my health really started to get bad. I had some serious problems there.
Okay.
You mean like, can you share what your problem was, or do you want to keep it private?
Sure. No, no, that's fine. I was diagnosed with diabetes that year, and I had to have two toes amputated.
Oh, wow.
Oh. What are the nature of your three fiction books?
I was trying to decide which I would write in. So one is more of a kind of a science fiction time travel. One is a little bit more of a romance, and the other one is more, again, it's got a little bit of what most people call sci-fi because it's about intuition. A lot of people don't believe that, but it's more of a young adult book. And I've decided that I feel more comfortable with more of the kind of sci-fi stuff.
And have you published those books, or are you attempting still to publish them?
No, I have been attempting for some time to publish them, but then in the last 3 years since my health, I've been trying to get back on track with that. I've not been spending the amount of time that I wanted to market those books to either an agent or a publisher.
Okay, so you're trying to go the traditional route as opposed to self-publishing.
Yes, I want to do both, and since nothing has opened up yet, I know now I'm going to have to start studying the self-publishing and learn that, because I think I may have to do that for my nonfiction book.
I'm still trying to traditional, too.
Sorry.
Okay. And may I ask, are you overweight? Is this diabetes caused from overweightness, too, as well as blood sugar and everything, you know, family?
I am overweight now. I don't know if that's what caused it. I was just diagnosed with it when I turned 54.
Okay. Okay, so we've got, you see, what's happening is you're going through a period of rebirth, but you're experiencing from past life a period of death that occurred around the age of 54 in a past life. So you're actually 2 years old beyond the age you died in a past life. And somehow your energy is coming, some of that energy is recycling itself and coming back to oppose and challenge your higher journey. That's what's happening right now. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to point out that Diane is a 9, as we figured out I've got the birth date right now. And it's broken up on both sides of her birth date by 324 and 1962. So you have nothing higher on your linear board, so to speak, than your master number, which can be very challenging. And because it's broken up by lower chakra numbers, essentially, at least on the month and day side of the birth date, that can be... you know, a difficult situation. I think that's part of the problem she's having.
One of them. See, Diane, look at this. Like, you're the captain and you're number 9. All the members on your team, your past life members, are 3, 2, 4, 6, 2, lower than 9. So you're kind of like, if you ever saw that movie, The Bad News Bears, you're kind of like managing a team of with numbers that have a lot to do with karma. And that's why you're having some problem. Your fifth chakra, which would be the one for writing, is broken up in your 3-2. And you have a repetition of 3-2 in your first two numbers and 3-2 in your first and last numbers. So it's all broken up. Okay, so we get all this idea that you've got some severe challenges going on. To your advantage, from the age of 54... to 63, that's when you're supposed to experience your highest level of energy. So between 54, you see 3-2 is a 5, and then you have a 4. So your one of your karmic multiples of 9 is embedded in your month and day. 3 plus 2, 5, and then the 4, 54. Now, between 54 and 63, you're going through another cycle of 9. You're actually going through your seventh cycle of 9.
And she's 3 years into it, which is her month.
Yeah. So, and you lost a couple of toes, you have diabetes, all of this stuff is probably can be identified in your karmic numbers. Did you have a sister or do you have a sister?
I've never had a sister. I have one girlfriend that's kind of like a sister to me.
Okay, that was your past life sister.
Okay.
And is she a fellow writer or just an old friend from high school?
We met at a job about 20 some years ago.
What kind of job, by the way, were you working at?
We were working in the fraud department of a credit card company. We were investigating credit card fraud together, and she taught me that, and I worked there for a couple of years with her.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, have you ever done anything in your life that you're kind of ashamed of? You don't have to share it. Maybe you can. You don't have to. But can you recall anything that you've done where you're kind of ashamed of it and it might have been breaking the law, like you ran a red, even if you ran a red light or you had some credit card debt? You don't have to.
I honestly can't think of anything that I have done, but I've been most ashamed that I've not done anything yet that I wanted to in my life.
Okay. Now, did your parents divorce?
Because I've worked very hard to have a much better life than what I have.
Right. Did your parents divorce?
No. No, they were together until my father died.
Okay. And now, when did your father die?
2002.
Okay. So were you close to your father?
Not especially. I wanted to be close to both of them, but they were children of the Depression, and they just didn't really get close to people.
Children,
distant parents.
Okay, so we're backtracking, and we're trying to figure out why you're in this position you're in right now in relation to the events at hand.
Aside from the past life problem.
Well, your past life, your karma, you have to face anyways, and you have an extension of it. So we already know you have a tough time with karma. But I'm trying to figure out where in this lifetime some of this other stuff got tripped up. Was there any former engagement? Were you ever proposed to, or have you always kind of been alone?
No, I've been married twice before, but divorced.
Oh, there's a divorce. So the divorce energy, too, is now sliding into your life as opposed to your parents.
Okay.
So you've been divorced. So you see, now what we're doing is we're shifting through the karma, past life, coming into this life, and looking how it's manifesting in your life. To try to discover where the golden ring is, you know, science fiction. We're trying to get the hobbit's ring here.
Right.
So, well, that's fantasy. But I take you as a fantasy writer. But, you know, fairy tale fantasy, hobbit. I mean, your voice sounds like that kind of person. But so did you have an uncle? First of all, did you have an uncle?
I've had several uncles, yes.
And did any of those uncles, were they either close to you or mean to you?
None were mean. No, I take that back. There is one that's still alive. I don't have anything to do with that has been mean to me before.
Okay, that's the one I want to hear about.
Tell us a little bit about the uncle.
Well, it's my mother's brother-in-law, and I don't have anything to do with him anymore because he was so mean to me. I lived in a remote area for a little while where he lived, where he kind of felt he was the king of the county type thing. And I remember one specific time I was moving some stuff out of our family house in this remote area, and he said he was going to help me, and I found out a little bit later he was actually throwing my possessions away.
Oh, wow.
And destroying. And that, okay. For some reason, I've had a trend where people have not respected my possessions, and that's, I'm very sensitive to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, that's tribal past life. You have a tribal conflict from past life that moved into this world, and that has to do with past tribal, past lives. And so since you're into intuition and past lives and all this stuff, you can appreciate that at least the scenario we're developing. You have a, you're crawling out, evolutionary style, you're crawling out of the out of the muck and the swamp to stand on your 2 feet. And it's been a struggle for you.
It's been a struggle.
All my life.
I mean,
yeah.
Family conditions could have been much worse for her. I mean, these are little,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they're watered down.
Right.
It's right. I was never physically or sexually abused. None of that horrible stuff. So I'm
right.
Very
and you
lucky.
Had, you had good right. parents, but they were somewhat distant. So there was an emotional disconnect in that relationship, which is not
right. Emotionally
ideal.
Distant, but physically they gave me everything I needed.
Right. They provided for
yeah,
you.
We're
but
not
this
talking
is,
about that.
Right.
But this is the watered down aspect
yeah.
we're talking about. The fact that it's come through, but not to an extreme of being totally abused in a family
yeah,
or whatever.
Listen, your parents
right.
were just, you've had two divorces, you have diabetes, you lost some toes. I mean, you're struggling with your books, you haven't sold anything. Look at that for a minute. And say to yourself, okay, this is karma. But inside of the karma is my transcendence. Inside of that, I reemerge like the firebird. I get my goals done in this lifetime. That's why you're a nine and you have perseverance. So the idea
which means you didn't, I mean, just explain that real quick. Nines are very resilient typically. I mean, we don't like to generalize according to numbers, but nines really are resilient. It's the highest number in the master number, and you know, it's nines have gone through all the master numbers at the point they've reached the nine.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's that resiliency.
Right.
Because
now,
of that.
If you take 2018 and you subtract 62 from it, your year,
mm-hmm.
You get 56. Now you get 56. So look at
wait,
this
wait.
As subtraction.
So 9 minus 62 minus
now
9.
Look at the 6 and the 2. In the last columns of those numbers, that's the year you're born.
Wait, 62 mm-hmm. minus what?
62 minus 218 get to her age 56. So if you go 2018 minus 62, year you're born, you get 56.
Yeah, okay.
Now I'm taking the 6 of the 5, 56, and the 2 of the 62, and that is the year you're born. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You with me? You understand?
Yes.
Good. You're
mm-hmm.
smart. Okay. So that's the year you're born. What you have above that energy is an 8. I'm predicting that you're not going to see any, the success you're looking for, I think is going to come, but not until 58.
Okay.
So you've got about 2 years to struggle, maybe a year and some change to struggle to get to the place where you would say, wow, this is a big event. I love this. This is good. Accomplishment. I don't think it's going to happen until 58, but can you survive until then?
Well, I've made it this long. It's not been a really easy life. So, yeah, I think so.
How do you survive in the world? Do you pay for bills and living expenses, so on?
Well, I cannot pay all my bills. I live on the best I can on disability.
Oh, and regarding the books, I don't know, you know, I stepped away for a moment, but when you were talking about the books, you've not published them, is
no.
what I heard, I believe, but you're considering, are you considering self-publishing at all?
Which I am considering it. Yes.
Which can be very lucrative if you do it properly. I mean, depending on the company
yeah.
that you use, Amazon really, I think, is, you know, the way to go because you really have more control
mm-hmm.
over your
mm-hmm.
over your work.
Yeah, and you know, you go to libraries, start to build a you know, but you have to factor that into your health issues and
it,
things like that.
Is there anything you can do freelance with your writing that is not just writing books? I mean, it seems that there might be another area in which, I mean, there has to be jobs for writers aside from, you know, putting up novels or whatever. I didn't hear, what's the nonfiction book about? What's the nonfiction book about?
About intuition, using your intuition.
Oh, it's about intuition. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I would say look for freelance work. Have you done that?
Yes, I have, and I haven't really found companies that either I felt comfortable with or that I heard back from. There are a lot of opportunities listed on the internet. I've seen a lot of those. I just haven't made contact with the right one for me yet.
Yeah, we'll keep that up, but I understand why you're having trouble because I don't see it break until 58. But
so
here's what you should do.
Has to subsist on disability to 58
well,
years
maybe.
Old?
Well, maybe. I mean, she's at least has that baseline. Your young adult book, publish at least a couple of 10 copies and go to the libraries and see if you can start reading it or getting it in or going to some of the local bookstores and just see how it – you can do self-publishing for it and still retain the rights and still sell later to a company. And that might be the way to go to generate some sales and
yeah,
some
because
interest.
It's published on demand. Like if you do Amazon, Neil self-published books. He's a writer and
okay.
We're writing a book, but he self-published fiction books. We're working on a nonfiction book together. But the self-published books, the nonfiction books, there's like how many? 10? He went through Author House. But I think for her, rather than doing that package, she would have a cheaper price going through Amazon. And
yeah.
You print on demand, so you only, I think you get a certain amount of books in the package anyway. If you self-published, you could print the books up. You probably get some with your package. It probably wouldn't cost you beyond the package. You retain the rights to create the book and arrange it the way you want. So you're doing everything for yourself. It's, you know, it's very hands-on. I think through Amazon, and then you could do what Neil said: go to the library,
yeah,
these books,
start reading it,
reading
get
the books
a little
to kids.
Audience going. That's what you have to do, Diane. You want
okay.
to write.
Do you?
So that's what you have to do.
Do you have a website or anything with your writing examples at this point that you want to share?
No, not at this point. I do have one that I set up a couple years ago for the. It was basically the author name for the young adult book because it was more about. Intuition. The primary kid is very intuitive, and so I created a site based upon that.
Did you get any responses?
Yeah. In fact, I was doing an internet talk show for a while regularly, but then the talk show just went under at the beginning of the year. The person decided to stop doing that because I was going to kind of do some
okay.
of what you've said. You know, I was going to jump on that,
okay.
but then I kind of lost that free promotion.
Okay, so here's what you need to do aside from checking over your health and maintaining, controlling your diabetes and all that stuff. Do you have any kids? Do you have a daughter?
No, I do not.
No
I'm,
kids?
I'm close to some of my brother's kids, though.
Okay, so you have some nieces. Do you have a niece?
Yes, I've got
okay.
three nieces.
Okay, so last 30 seconds. Promote the young adult book. Don't,
okay.
No excuses. Don't look at how you can't do it. Just do it. Don't worry about anything else. Promote that book, get a couple copies made, and start peddling that book around and get an audience. That's where you have to start. There's
all
no
right.
doubt in my mind about this, not one bit. That's where you have to start because the gauge of the travel line would be that in 2 years, within 2 years, you're going to be able to sustain yourself through your writing. But you have to start there as of now.
Okay, and
okay.
Amazon, you feel would be a good place for me to learn all of that self-publishing?
Yeah, I think so.
If you're good with the computer and everything, I wasn't, so I did Author House. I happen to be very happy with Author House.
You're happy, but
I'm
think
happy.
I think the profit margin is bigger with Amazon.
Yeah, go with
I think
Amazon.
It's bigger with Amazon. I mean, they
okay.
take.
I wasn't worried about. You know, I'm not worried about sales and stuff. I was worried about getting my book in print and it looking like a book and feeling proud that I got the book.
Yeah, and they're very nice. Author House does a really good job
they
putting the book out.
Job.
And, you know, they do all the design for you. But if you're limited on resources, then,
Go to Amazon. You can do it all. You know, I didn't have the knowledge to do all that stuff with the computer. but and my books could have been published traditionally, but I didn't want to go that route. I mean, I'm a good writer. I could have done that, but I didn't want to go that route. So go to Amazon, check it out, start with your young adult book, and move forward.
Okay. I will learn how to publish then. I'll start that.
Yeah,
and you know, just one last thing about Amazon. I mean, if you choose to get, I think, a more expensive package, they do, I think, the design for you there. But definitely research the companies before you commit. But I think that's probably the way to go for you. And then you can choose, you know, do you want to do it yourself or have more help? And it just, you know, there's a difference in the cost, I think, for that.
Okay.
Okay, Diane.
Yeah, and quit and don't call radio shows and ask, you know, that your future's coming, the fairy godmother's going to come in a year, they see angels around you. Forget that. Just go to your book and do this. Don't waste time trying to find answers from psychics. I'm telling you, this is what you need to do.
Okay? Yeah, you know, that's true. That's true. That's true. There's an example.
Well, I'm glad I called today because I got a lot of help. This is what I needed to hear.
You can call our show. Call our show. Call us. Because it's
I'll take you up on that. I'll probably wait at least 6 months, but I will do that.
Don't call us back. Just go do what you need to do.
Well, she can call us back when she wants.
But I'm saying don't waste your time doing psychic shows.
Obviously.
Just go and do it, Diane, and the prediction is you will be successful.
I'm going to put your call on mute and say something about that, you know, in addition, but and then we're going to move on to another caller. But thank you, Diane.
Thank you both. If
you're on Facebook, we would really appreciate it if you joined us there. Neil and Kristen Baker is our personal page, Neil Baker Psychic, and the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, our other two pages. But I was going to say, you know, there was somebody else, a caller that I was talking to via email, and this caller said to me, oh, well, you know, this, I talked to a psychic, and the psychic sees this outcome and it's going to happen. And I was like, no, there's no guarantee in this case that something is going to happen. So there's a lot people that are giving psychic readings on the radio and elsewhere say a lot of things that they cannot back up with validations, et cetera. And a good psychic is going to be able to validate with psychic information in other areas, what advice they're giving. So it will be backed up. And that happens consistently on our show. So, okay, let's bring on 402. Other 402, two callers from the 402 area code today. Hello.
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi.
I've talked to you before. Yes.
Sue,
I'm
hi.
Sue with the cats. With the two
cats. Hi, Sue. Hi, Sue.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Sound like you're really on top of things right now. That was a good conversation with Diane. I really liked that. It was interesting, and I learned a lot from it.
Oh, good. Good.
But my question today is for you guys. These energies that are coming in, do they bother or affect you guys, you know, that are more tuned in intuitively and psychically? Or how do you handle it? Because it's really seeming to not unnerve me, but it kind of takes a toll on me. Other than meditation, is there anything else I need to be doing?
Okay, let's get your birth date again. I'm sorry, I don't remember. That's
okay.
Bad.
That's fine. It's 10/1/56.
Yeah, okay, 10/1/56. 2/12/11.
23/5.
So she is a 5. I said, is there a 5 in it?
I am a 5.
Somewhere in the depths of my memory, I remembered that, but it wasn't totally sure. Okay.
She's 23/5.
Yeah, she's 23/5. You're a 5, right, Sue?
Yes, I am a 5.
She says we're on top of things, and then we start falling apart. Okay.
It's the energy.
See, it's too much pressure. Too much pressure. Okay. So you're saying, tell us a little bit more about what you are experiencing in the world right now. You're saying that you're feeling the intensity and energy.
Intensity on seeing energies that are coming in. It's like I'll have nights where I don't sleep at all and I'll be wide awake. And amazingly enough, I'll get up and I'll go to work and I'm an accountant during the day. So I am still able to function that way. But there are times where it's just like I lose my balance. And it's just like, whoa, what is this, you know? And then it'll go away after a while. And it's just like emotions are tripped real quickly. And I have how you want to say it, I thought I was to a point of being very patient with things, but I've noticed there's triggers that are happening. And usually when I get a lot of triggers, then I start getting dreams and I get, you know, so I know I'm trying to work something up and out. And I do meditations 4 or 5 times a week, you know, so, but it's like, okay, am I needing to do something else to, you know, to either clear this if I'm not, you know, if I'm not, you know, do, what is the next step?
Well, I mean, I would venture to say that whatever you're experiencing is less to do with whatever energies are going on in the universe, and it's more on a personal, I mean, not,
okay,
you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know if they're, it's the world or the events of the world, but I mean, as far as, you know, energies being intense on a psychic or, you know, universal level, I don't know if, you know, the world is a more intense place, but, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of like the, are you into astrology?
Yes,
Sue?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're thinking about the movements of the planet. We really don't get into that whole idea, philosophy on the show. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Neil said, I think that, you know, the chair in the room has more an effect than a planet in the sky on the environment.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Go ahead.
But I mean, I do feel different types of energies. You know, it's like, you know, I will all of a sudden get into this phase of I've got to clean out my closets and I'll start doing it. And then somebody's that's like, personal. Oh, it's Mercury retrograde. And I'm like, oh, duh, that's why I'm doing this. You know, never thought of it before. So I know I'm affected by that stuff.
All that embroidery. That's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine. There's no mm-hmm. content mm-hmm. there. But here's, you're an accountant, so listen closely. You
yeah.
have a 10. You have a 101 in your month and day. That's an 11. You're
okay.
born in 56. That's an 11.
That's 11.
11.
Yep.
Have now look at this. You have a lot of challenges due to karma and past life. You have.
Okay.
I believe you had a past life where there was suicide.
A
wasted kind of life. There might have been alcoholism. I'm getting a dog that died when you were a child or some mishap with a dog that was terrifying that maybe in that lifetime your father killed. So there's been a lot of emotional trauma that your soul has now brought into this life for Sue.
So I'm just wondering if that surfaced in this life. Did you ever have a traumatic loss of a dog or an animal in your childhood?
No, in my adulthood, I have had a traumatic loss of a dog, yes.
Okay.
Not childhood.
Well, yeah, well, the childhood
was the past life, but I was asking
so
if
the,
it surfaced
no,
in this
yeah,
life.
Surfaced, yeah, so what was
so
the
surfaced.
Tragic event in this lifetime?
You know, what comes into my mind at this point in time is the loss of innocence that happened in this lifetime. A childhood, something that happened in childhood, and it was a loss of innocence. And that's
but
the only
have,
thing. That's what.
Did you have a loss of a dog? But you were saying there was an adult. You had a tragic loss of an animal in your adulthood.
Yes. Yes.
That
yes,
would tie
I
back
have,
to
yeah.
that past life.
And the
yeah,
loss of
yeah.
the dramatic element in your childhood is a carryover
right.
from a trauma in a past life. So you and 11 energies do bring in some darkness.
Not only that, Sue, but you have a zero between the 11s, and that's more of an indication that there was that past life loss
yeah.
Of, you
oh,
know,
cool.
whether you
okay.
wasted your life or committed suicide in that past life. When zero comes up on the linear board in a birth date, it's,
mm-hmm.
it that's kind of the suggestion.
So here's
no, and I do know of that loss or that suicide in another lifetime. It has approached or come up, and I've
yeah.
had to look at it and deal with it and whatnot.
So with the zero and the 11s, what the theory is that she's going to be more sensitive, and you know, it may be more difficult for her to
yeah.
acclimate herself and stay grounded in life.
The ones would equate to the your accountant energy, and the 5 and 6 would equate to your intuition, your meditation, things like this. Here's what you need to do. Here's an exercise. You need to put your fifth chakra, your throat chakra, in your ego. You have an ego problem, meaning that you need to strengthen your ego. Your ego is too, your ego now in this case, your ego. And what's happening is that you're being bombarded by energies because you don't have a strong energy field emanating from your fifth chakra that will now cover your entire body. So there's, you know, somewhere your communication was compromised. You were made to be silent. You had to live.
Yeah, many lifetimes.
Really? So
yes,
you see,
yeah.
And what happened was your chakra number five, your throat chakra, suffered. It lost its pride. It lost its power. And even though you talk well and all that, and you're very intelligent, it doesn't matter. The energy field that is being perceived, if I tap in chakra number five and look at your energy field, it's all full of holes. So it needs to, all you need to do is put your ego in your communication, talk with power. You see how I'm talking with power?
Mm-hmm.
I come from a childhood where I couldn't talk till I was eight, and I had such stage fright that it was crippling. You would never see that. There's comes a point in one's life where you have to take power and do so in a way to where you don't become arrogant. You become powerful, effective, and you understand the fabric of life where you can entertain yourself with that power.
So it's about putting your ego in the fifth chakra, but not in a way, I mean, in a healthy way.
In a positive,
way, not an egotistical way, not a, you know, a balanced way, a balanced ego in the fifth chakra.
You could do public speaking, you could go into groups where you express yourself. You could practice in front of the mirror. You could.
Did you do any kind of writing?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I'm working on writing right now. But it's interesting that we're talking about this because I used to do seminars on crystal bowls, and we'd go out and travel and different cities. And I could not speak. I would feel like somebody was choking me as I spoke. So I ended up doing some hypnosis and some NLP on it and brought some stuff up, you know, and it got better after that, but I haven't done it for so long.
We're both hitting the root. We're all hitting the root of your problem, and it comes from a past life, and you're traumatized by that past life because it carried over into this lifetime and manifested into certain things. And now let's just wipe it clean, because I don't think that you have to keep this up.
So I wanted to
go ahead.
You're going to say something?
Yeah, I know. I know many lifetimes I was basically condemned to death or put to death because I spoke my mind and I was not of the norm. And so I've had these past life recalls, you know, coming up and stuff. So I know it's a carryover from past lives. A lot of it can be.
And you've had past life recall personally?
Yes, I have myself.
That's the six in your energy, the third eye. But, you know, back to your writing, what kind of things do you write?
I'm writing, well, I've written some articles on my crystal bowls and what they do and how they work. And now I'm venturing into writing about these journeys that I had done with another woman and why we were doing them and the magical, mystical things that happened on these journeys, you know, between the Black Hills and then the different pyramids down in Mexico. And so it's like, it's time. I need to start writing what this was about and put it down.
Yeah,
so
if you want to read what she's writing in public, since she needs to do
that.
Not only that,
but you could develop a trilogy of novels based on the crystal bowls.
The journey.
And build a whole novel form around them. Oh, you've got plenty of things you can do.
Before it was like, you know, I could never write. No, I was terrible. I can't do it. But all of a sudden, it's just like, no, I need to write. I need to put this down.
Yeah,
and I can do this.
Today you can dictate and it will come out, you know, writing. You can dictate your books and it comes out in print form.
I don't know. I mean, can you do that with a regular?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah,
you can just write it, talk into it.
And talk to it.
And why don't we do that? We're typing everything. But you know, the writing too is a part of her repair of the fifth chakra. So I would encourage her to continue to do that.
Yeah, you're meant to travel. Yeah. You're meant to travel through your fifth and sixth chakra right now.
I travel through my sixth a lot.
Yeah. You have to eliminate your karma. You have a 0101. That's a big gravitational pull of karma that keeps dragging you back. But you can do this.
Yeah.
You can do this. You're supposed to do it in this lifetime. If I were you, I mean, and so to answer your question, to get rid of this bombardment of energy and you're so vulnerable, strengthen your ego. Put it around yourself. Okay. You know, you have crystal bowls. Well, the crystal is the shell of the energy of the bowl. And you have to build your crystal shell. You have to make that strong. And if you do that, you will lift yourself out of a karmic dilemma and be flying a little bit. It's like a bird lifting itself out of the water and flying. You know, it takes a little wind power. Wing power.
I just saw a crystal bird.
Wings and wing.
Yeah. Okay. I will start working on that.
I don't know anything about crystal bowls. Are they musical bowls? Or are they just
they're
bowls?
Singing bowls. They're
like singing
event bowls.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
But sometimes those are metal, aren't they?
Yeah, the Tibetan ones are metal. The crystal ones, you know, the Tibetan ones can make seven different tones because they're made out of seven different metals, whereas the crystals are one octave of the musical scale. And but I've got like 16 of them that play different.
So you can play.
And don't forget, you got one in your month and 16 in your first and last numbers. So you're dealing with a karmic chime of energy. And that and the sound of the crystal bowl relates back to your past lives. So there was probably a time when you were doing these in a past life and you were murdered while you were doing it. There was an invasion of your village, I think. And that's where I think this comes from. Any hunters in your family background, anybody who liked weapons or war?
Not that I know of. I know my dad wanted to go to go off to war.
Yes.
But
don't you have I remember from another show, don't you have an in-law with guns?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Your
I do.
Son-in-law
that's
has
right.
guns. I remember.
Okay,
so I remember.
Right.
So that's what it
that's
is.
Right.
And, you have a, and she talked about being very uncomfortable with the guns because of the kids. Yeah.
Yep.
If you want to go online and forget about the topic, but go online and listen to the sounds of spears flying through the air. If there's a YouTube that gives you the sound a spear makes when it's flying through the air, you know that whoosh, that sound?
Yeah.
Listen to that and meditate on that sound.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay, Sue. Well, it was nice to have you
talking
today.
Talking to
on
you
the
again.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and I'll work on this. You guys have a good rest of the afternoon. Okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Keep in touch and let us know how things go. Okay, bye-bye.
I will. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we have some time left to have a conversation today. Yay.
Oh, okay.
The depth of dreams or the shallowness.
The depth. Because dreams have layers. The first obvious layer is a psychological dream. That's your first layer of dream. You just have an unraveling of your brain, and your brain is repeating scenes in your lifetime, and you're dealing with that. Sometimes it's coupled with imagination and surreal events that your brain conjures up because it's constantly associating one image with another, and then your brain builds a story out of it. You know, I mean, it's a general premise that if we... The brain is constructed in such a way that tries to find order out of chaos. So the brain has, if the brain sees a design, it tries to make it into a
isn't
form
that,
that's
isn't that the way our government's set up? Order out of chaos?
That's chaos out of
populist.
That's the other way around.
No.
So that's the first layer of the dream. The second layer of the dream is when the body, the astral body, leaves the physical body. It's no longer mental and psychological, but now the astral body is moving just in the astral plane and experiencing things on the astral plane and sending messages back to the sleeping body, the physical brain. So those are like flying, or maybe you're in a plane with a bunch of people.
Spaceship sometimes.
Spaceship.
I've been having spaceship dreams lately.
You're entering, spaceship dreams. You're entering rooms. You're talking to people you don't seem to know. Sometimes you enter an astral classroom and you're with other souls that are been dreaming, and they're being instructed in a classroom setting before they're returned back to their respective bodies. And that becomes a layer of energy that is the second layer of dreams. The third layer of dreams gets the most mysterious. That's when the soul goes into the astral realm, transcends through time and space, and enters its own past lives and witnesses things that have happened centuries ago, thousands of years ago, 50 years ago.
Which I find are probably the most difficult dreams to interpret for the average individual, because how do you make sense of past life dreams and put them together? I mean, it's challenging.
Say that in one of the past lives, one of the lives, you lost something and it meant the world to you. So you have a dream that you're like flying out of your body, and you're searching for something, you're looking for something, and you come back and you have this dream. You go, gee, what was that dream about? Was I looking for my keys? It doesn't make sense. Or what? I lost my keys about a week ago, but it is the root system of that is you go into a past life. Either you've been murdered in a past life, or some kind of confusion that resulted in your death, you can enter that dream. The astral body will enter that dream. And in astral form, your astral body will enter the body that you were, and you'll experience this and have a dream of sheer anxiety, panic. Like you wake up, you go, oh my God, thank God that was a dream. Now, some of that can be psychological. Doesn't mean to say that a psychological dream
can't have dramatic content. Yeah. It can.
But we're talking about the actual layer of energy.
So, I think when you start to really understand your dreams, you can actually correct the past life. I mean, you can't completely change them, but you can go back into a past life and redesign the past life energy in order to benefit the current life.
Yeah. The term I like to use is realignment. So realignment, if the train is heading to the train station and going a 500 miles an hour, if you could go back in time and set the rails so the train doesn't go into the train station but bypasses the train station, you can go into a past life and readjust the rails so that by the time you come to the present moment, things change. That's one of the most miraculous things about dreams. You go back into a past life, you actually realign your past life energy, you wake up in the morning, and that later that day, your problems are solved.
Right.
Miraculous things start to happen.
Right, so that's about when we're getting into correcting karma, transforming karma into a transcendence so that, a more transcendent energy can be established in the current lifetime. However, it takes, this is like lucid dreaming. You have to be aware of what you're doing going back into the dream.
Yeah, you have to define it, because your dream's going to take three levels. You either have a brain dream, a pure psychological dream, which has many dimensions and layers, or you have an astral dream.
So being able to identify what you're doing in each dream, first of all, and signifying which is which, because you can't go back into a psychological dream and have a lucid psychological dream and realign the past life energies. And so there can be confusion there. Go ahead.
There can be confusion. Sorry. Or second, like we said, you could have an astral dream where your astral body is just moving through astral space and experiencing things, which can involve intense things like classrooms and seeing people and things like that, spirits, demons, angels, guides. And then you can have a soul astral dream where your astral body actually brings your soul through time and space into another dimension. You're just not in the astral plane. You're traveling to a specific time, a place, an event that has to do with a past life, that it keeps revolving around like a clock. It just keeps, those events just keep revolving around and around and around your sleeping form, because they are part of the cycle of your soul. You got to remember, you're in the body. That's the center of time. But the hands of time or all your past lives keep traveling around and around and around. And the more that you eliminate your karma, and the more that you eliminate your karma, the more those revolutions diminish in intensity and allows the transcendent quality to overwhelm the karmic quality. So you can actually construct a passage of energy through which you can diminish your karma and improve your life through the through letting your astral body do the work that your physical body can't do. Physical body has a hard time. But, you know, I had a dream. Martin Luther King, he had a dream. His physical body failed him. He was assassinated. But he had a dream. That's his astral body speaking. That's his dream world. And so we all talk in the form of dream world. We are not of this earth. Where are we then? Where are we? Even Christ said, "We are not. I'm not of this earth. I'm
well,
not of this planet."
Well, he was less of this earth than the rest of the people he was speaking to. So there's differentiate between
Moses,
Christ and everyone else.
When he climbed Mount Sinai and when he got the Ten Commandments, he came back transformed. He was not of this earth. This earth is not of this earth. This earth comes from galaxies and dust from who knows billions and billions of light years away. We've been traveling through time and space. We're dust. But if we say dust to dust, we're talking about the origins of the universe, the Big Bang, the collision of energies that started life in the first place, where everything, we're all part of that. We're made up, our bones are made up of minerals from other galaxies, more or less our souls, our minds, the planet itself. We are a product of energies from worlds beyond.
The dust realm and in its midst, the code.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Yeah. From a book that nobody reads.
Except Mary, our one caller.
Oh, one caller
that
yeah.
bought the book. And I read it. I read it. Well, I had to edit it. So
worked.
My past life debt to you is editing that book all the others.
Yeah, right. But, in that dust is dreams. Dreams are made of dust.
Clean up
when
the cobwebs.
When we wake up, the dream lingers like dust on our brains. But you can't really see it. You see the dream, you repair yourself and see the dream in your third eye. That's where it's captured. That's where it emanates from, and that's where it's captured. So one of the depth levels of dreams is the birth of the third eye, which we have. It's the eye of eternity. It's our eternal eye. It's called the third eye, but it's in the sixth chakra. That's a nine, and that's eternity. So we have this concept that in our third eye, there's no bottom to it. If we are wise and divine enough, we discover the origins of existence in that eye. That's what captures. Thine eye is whole.
That's not your physical eye. That's your
third
eye.
So make sure you're third, that's the eye we need, you know. That's the eye that we see with. Our naked eyes, those are going to the worms. Our third eye is going to the heavens, to the dimensions
Hopefully.
Beyond time and space. Well, if you believe in a soul, if you don't, then you
right.
know,
but I mean, in terms
people
of
people wouldn't even be listening to our show,
right?
Unless they hear it and ridicule us. But the idea that our dreams hold information. Freud would make it psychological and then reduce it to childhood. Others might just, Jung would make it symbolic and maybe transfer it into cosmic consciousness. And then there are those who just psychoanalyze the individual through the interpretation of dreams, another book Freud did. But again, limited.
But limit to the psychological aspect of dreams.
Of
so everything would be attributed via Freud's philosophy.
To the first
to
7 years
the,
of life.
Yeah.
And then you go beyond that. And then you have all kinds of variations on the interpretation of dreams. But dreams then carry something cosmic. Jung started it. He didn't really start it, but he was famous for originating the idea of cosmic consciousness and all this stuff. Man and the symbols. So, and then others started to, but really the originators were the native tribes that talked about the dream world, the Indian Native American tribes, the African tribes, that all spoke about the dream world, even the Greeks and the Romans.
Right, and there would be more of a connection to the cosmos than Freud's philosophy. I mean, there's more depth to that knowledge, I think.
Oh, yeah. And don't think that Cro-Magnon and man didn't dream and put the dreams on the first movie screens
on
of
the
universe, on the caves.
Cave walls.
And alight it with the fire and depict the dream world through the use of fire and shadow and drawings. And some of those drawings are mystifying, things appearing in the sky. Were they planets? Were they stars? Were they UFOs? Or were they some sort of being that existed? There were giants in the earth at that time. There are famous paintings of Abraham and odd looking UFOs
in the
painting.
It seems that during that time there was more of a connection with other beings from other worlds than there are now, because of whatever development we've had of the world into a more modern society.
Right.
Not as much contact. I mean, of course, there are UFO sightings and things like that still. But
right. And then we start to develop our vocabulary into the idea of portals through which we travel through time. Portals through which our astral bodies leave our physical bodies and is able to transcend time and space and rapidly move into dimensions that we have no comprehension of in the physical form. So these are just the brief layers of dreams, we can't cover.
Right, and getting into perhaps we can continue this on Friday and maybe instruct a little bit on how to start to differentiate between psychological dreams, astral dreams. Obviously, keeping a dream diary is really important if you want to start doing this. Being able to go into the astral dreams and start to shift karma takes skill, practice. So we might want to talk about how to do that on the next show. But we are about 2 minutes left in the show. Anything you want to say to wrap up, Neil?
No, hopefully in the archives people will hear our discussion and start to take a little bit more effort in analyzing dreams and having a little bit more awareness as to what the platform and the program is in terms of where you may be in the midst of your dreams, what state you're in, what level you're in, and maybe give yourself some answers according to your own individual existence.
Okay. It's weird. We just got the 90-second warning before the 90 seconds were up. Huh. Okay. So we are out of time.
Future tense.
Yeah, I guess so. And we're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. Bye-bye.